Welcome, everybody. This is BNP Weekly. It is episode 99. So we have a special episode coming after this one, not reducing any value out of this episode, obviously. But it is nowadays. Today is 2nd of October. We're doing this as a special recording on Friday. Typically, it's on Monday and then Tuesday go live. But let's quickly do a recap. So BNP Weekly is all about the Microsoft 365 ecosystem and what's happening there. And my name is Esa Juvonen, and I am Microsoft. What am I?
Man of many talents.
Thank you. I'm a program manager in the Microsoft, and with me as a co-host is the newest Microsoft member, actually, Waldek. Yeah. Who are you?
I need to get this right? So my name is Waldek Masiyas, and I am cloud developer with Microsoft. This is my first episode in this role.
And I don't know if Christina even knew that.
Because I didn't know. Now I'm going to put it on Teams too. Congratulations.
The worst kept secret. Thank you.
I'll have to ping you with my V-dash now. Yay.
Yeah. So today with us, we have a guest from the US. It looks sunny. I would say fellow MVP, but I am no longer an MVP. So I cannot say a fellow. An MVP, certified or not, drone pilot.
Working on my certification.
There you go. Christina Wheeler. Hi, Christina. Great to have you on the show.
Can you do a quick intro on your own words? So who are you and what are you?
My name is Christina Wheeler. And as Waldek said, I'm an Office Ops and Services MVP. I am in sunny Georgia right now. The sun is out. Ooh, I should be on the paddleboard right now. I'm a principal solution architect for Canvas Consulting, and yeah, I'm doing another recording today, so I'm wearing my Teams shirt.
Represent. You know,
it's all about Teams right now, baby.
Yep, that's what it is all about. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, and this I love because Sean Wilson at Microsoft. I went on site to do JTA, and this is literally one of my favorites. I also love this one other thing Lori gave me. But it's so comfortable.
You heard it here first. Working with Teams is comfortable.
Yes. Yes.
I wasn't going to quite go there, but.
What's actually kind of, I have to say about the swag which you're getting from Microsoft, Microsoft official travel guidance says that you as a Microsoft employee, yep, you're not supposed to wear anything which actually says Microsoft, because that's a security violation, which is actually kind of funny, because then you get stuff which has the Microsoft on it, and it's like, well, jump.
I get that. Well, the problem I have is if I wear this out, and it really is the most comfortable thing. So comfortable that I could sleep in it if I'm cold. But, you know, or people get confused, or they see this, they think I work for Microsoft, or they see the MVP and they think I work for Microsoft.
Hey, can you fix all they do is see my Office? Can you fix my Windows? Can you fix my printer?
So funny you say that, because there was a period of time where I was burnt out on technology. And I don't know if you guys know, there's a really cool little chain store called Trader Joe's. I went and worked there for 3 months.
Okay.
I did not want to touch a computer. I didn't want anything to do with computers. And I went
and worked had there. Register, cash register. You had mobile palm things to take orders. Touch. You had like device everywhere. Like,
Well, I wasn't touching a computer. I wasn't fixing computers.
Ain't touching that. Yeah, but money. Ain't touching that.
Ain't touching it. Christina, I need your help. Can you help? Nope. I don't work on computers.
But obviously we didn't script anything. We didn't agree on whatever we're going to discuss. But let's actually talk about that one slightly. Because Christina, you've been an MVP for quite a few years, right?
Yes.
But do you want to talk about this? I don't know. But then at some point, you said that you basically needed to have a break out of it. Any learnings from avoiding those kind of situations? Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, you're good.
So any learnings on how people should be avoiding those kind of situations? And then we go back on more kind of a fluffy thing, so to say.
Don't burn yourself out. I burned myself out so bad that it was just, I was done. But I mean, it was a long time ago, and it's when I lived in California. But I don't know. I just went through this period of time where I was just I went shop. I love Trader Joe's, and I was shopping one day, and I'm like, maybe I'll go work here for a little bit. Sure enough. Now, when I went to apply for the job, they were kind of in shock because you had to put down your salary. And, you know, I'm in IT. So they saw my salary and they go, you make this and you want to work here. Why? It's because I'm burnt out. And in California, I didn't have health insurance. So it's like they give you health insurance after 3 months. Well, I only lasted 3 months and then I went back to my real job. Not to say that I don't love my Trader Joe's family, but it just, you know, it was actually very good for me because it helped bring the passion back. And my passion's been back ever since. But I just got a period of time where I was just, I don't know, I was so burnt out. Plus, it was on-prem SharePoint. Plus, it was like,
I can imagine why you were burnt out now.
Yes.
I were burnt out. That was on-prem SharePoint.
It was on-prem SharePoint. What can I say?
You just put these two in a sentence, and that's what you get.
Yep.
But luckily, times are different now. So Christina, can you talk about what do you actually do for a living as a working in Canvas? There's some good other MVPs working there as well. But what do you actually do for a living? So as an MVP and a consultant.
So a couple of things. When I first joined, we have an awesome team of people, and we have awesome developers. We have a wonderful offshore team actually in China. And the thing with me is Todd. So Teabag, Todd Baginski, who I work with, he's one of the partners at Canvas. You know, he said, Christina, you're going to have to start delegating. And it sounded easier than it really was. And I think because I was so used to doing stuff myself, delegating was the hardest thing. But then once I started working with the team and realizing how awesome our developers are, because it's been really nice. And they're 12 hours ahead of my time zone. And, 15 hours ahead of, you know, the Canvas is based out of Washington State outside of Seattle. And so it's nice because I'll start stuff and then I'll hand it off to one of our developers and then they'll continue and then I'll sleep. And then I wake up to their emails and I go back and forth. And it's just a really great relationship.
Yeah.
So what is good is I've been learning a lot from them because they're just hardcore hands-on all the time. And then we learn from each other and then we're both going back and forth. So that's actually been nice. And Todd said it'd take about 3 months, and that sounds about right. It took about 3 months before I was willing, you know, comfortable. You know, I tried. I just couldn't do it. I was doing for 10 years, I was doing everything myself.
Yeah, as an individual vendor or an always employee. Yeah, and then you learn to basically take care of yourself and only by yourself and all of that. And I get that.
And then you have to scale and give it to others. And you're like, oh, but I think your hand itches like to do stuff. Like, you want
to
do stuff
now. Well, when I decide to, right? Because the other night I was working on this recording for Lori Potmeyer. And so that's the thing. It just depends on, I'm able to focus on other things. Now I'm able to focus on, you know, I can now blog and do different things now that I didn't have the time to do. And I can actually go to bed. That's huge. I love my sleep.
And that's, by the way, a super important piece of handling the stress as well and avoiding any burnout situations. It's sleep. So
I mean, there is so much cool stuff out there, right? I mean, like, why would you sleep? Like, no, like, you know,
you
there's so
like,
much stuff. Yeah, this. I mean, like every week there is more announcements, and there is this, and you probably can automate things and attach camera to it and like learn tricks with it.
Yes.
It's just not enough hours in a day, right?
No.
You're like guilty.
I didn't go to bed till like that. Guilty. I didn't go to bed. I planned on going to bed early last night. I did take a nap because I had a long night the night before. I didn't go to bed till like 1:30 or 2. So yeah, but you know, and it's because I was geeking out on technology.
There you go.
Yeah. But it shows also the passion because I think one of the challenges what we in the IT is obviously there's different personas, different people, but then there's a lot of people who are like you just can't stop. There's just so many interesting things to actually watch and read about and help people and all of that stuff, and it's really hard to actually learn how to deal with that all of the incoming things, and then try to find something like battle boarding, which is by the way brilliant. So I love that as well because it's a completely your personal time if you want. You're all by yourself in a lake or in a sea, and that's
a loco sport.
You know what? I saw you paddleboard. You paddleboard. I got in my friend one. So when this shutdown first happened, the last trip I did was in Helsinki, Finland. And I came back and I was dying to get back on the plane. And now I got to say, I mean, I still think this is a weird Twilight Zone year, but a lot of positives come out of it. And one, I got into paddleboarding and VR gaming, both of those. And paddleboarding has been the lifesaver for me. Now it's great. I do have a local lake. Now, I don't know if you guys seen, but we have gators in the lake, some of the lakes here. No big deal. I understand. I understand the gator behavior. But I have a local lake, so I may work and I'll go out and do a paddle and come back and I'm so refreshed, I'll continue. Yeah. So I'm finding that has been helping me. And I'm doing a lot with Teams. I'm doing stuff internally with Microsoft with Teams and the passion that I've got with Teams now. I know I've seen people, I get there's like from a consumer side, you know, frustrations and stuff, but being able to actually be in the inner workings of it and see and help contribute to that, it's like, I love you guys. It's like how SharePoint was a long time ago. SharePoint's been around a long time, right?
So let's be clear, we're not only on SharePoint anymore. So
That's true. But one of my friends, he thinks that's all I still do. I'm like, no, I crossed the gamut. I mean, I think that's why being a solution architect has fit me well, because I've always been that person that likes to, you know, I'll master something and then I'm bored. I'm like, okay, what's next? Right. Yeah. And doing the different technologies. And so that's why I love working in the whole ecosystem, because I get to get my hands on it, all the different types of technologies.
Yep.
And there is a lot, like every week there's an update. Every few other weeks there is new announcements and there are new features with which you can dip your toes and try things from Azure to M365 Power Platform.
And Ignite was like a week ago, depending on when you're watching the video. But now, week after Ignite, there has not been any chance to watch all of the videos and all of the announcements and everything. Funny enough, that, by the way, Christina, that you said it, this was completely news for me as well, which is actually super weird. So yesterday I was approached, related on SharePoint, yesterday I was approached by a customer, or actually a customer representative and account team in the US, and basically saying, hey, so can we get more details around SharePoint 2021? And I'm like, hey, what? But apparently, as part of the Ignite announcements, there is a blog post where we actually say that there will be SharePoint 2021, which personally, I was completely unaware. I know that they say there's team working on it, but that there wasn't even an announcement around it, which is like, wow.
Christina is already...
That is exactly me right now.
I think probably some of the people who are watching or listening to this podcast or video are like, what? But there was a blog post where that was actually mentioned, but it was mentioned in Exchange blog post, which is
on-prem, right? And I mean, if they need
there is an on-prem, absolutely. There's a lot of customers and partners who are doing on-prem. And to be fair, the having this discussion with Christina, with you, who work with the product group super closely with the Microsoft Teams, have the connections, and Wallach is a cloud advocate, driving cloud, we're in this bubble where we kind of think that everybody else has the same opportunities and reach and understanding, and that's not just reality. Okay. Most of the world I'd say half of the world is still kind of in the progress of moving to the cloud. Right. I think the 2020 has helped a lot on that, because it's been forced, but still.
It has.
Understanding what the cloud can actually do. I think that's why Waldeck is now on the cloud advocate side on trying to help and educate people on, hey, so now that you are in the cloud, guess what? All of these goodies. And it's rather than, now I'm in the cloud, okay, so I have the same stuff that I have in on-prem. No, you have much more.
Yes, and never more. No, right? It's always yes and.
Exactly. But it's funny to see. I've known Christina as an example for like 5 to 6 or 10 years. I don't know.
It's been a long time. Yep.
Exactly. But how the world has evolved, and Waldeck as well, from the times when we were all in the on-premises and we had Bebos or maybe early cloud capabilities, and it was completely different. And now we are absolutely focusing on the Microsoft Teams. And then inside of the Teams, we're also surfacing multiple different features and capabilities. whatever they are. They might be from SharePoint, they might be from Stream, Yammer, and all of that. So, but it's interesting how the evolution has brought us where we are right now. So,
you know, it's funny. I was kicking and screaming in the very beginning. I was a diehard on-prem person, but I was also an on-premise developer, right? So, you know, I think there was a period of time, and I think quite a few people said, "Oh my goodness, Christina, the things changed," or basically they said, "Pigs fly now," or "Hell froze over," because I completely flipped. But in the beginning, I was extremely frustrated, and I was so used to server-side development. I used to love writing event receivers, you know, things like that.
I'm your job.
Then all of a sudden, you know, I'm starting to get thrown in the cloud. I'm like, why can't I can't do that? Because at the time, with the limitations of the APIs and different stuff like that, and then going hybrid, that in the beginning of hybrid, I swore off Office 365 projects for an entire year.
Yeah.
And then I got into Power BI, and that brought me back into the cloud. And now I'm like, ooh, to see the evolution of it, it gets better and better and better. Now, and I know, as you guys know, there's still frustrations too, right? We deal with a lot of the frustrations, but it's actually nice not having to be responsible for servers. It's nice that if there's an issue, I'm not up all night dealing with I can't tell you how many sleepless nights I had dealing with server maintenance or all types of server recovery, things like that, managing the servers.
Yeah. But I guess that's the one thing that I think many people do not, or they underestimate, like the amount of effort that goes into keeping things up and running all the time, right? Because like being a dev, you're like, well, I mean, you build something, push it, like how hard can it be? Even being an admin, you're like, I mean, it works, right? And then if it doesn't, you turn it off, turn it on again, and it works. Well, it doesn't work that way, right? You're like, and then you think about all the different things at scale, like disaster recovery, having things available, secure, compliant, and then suddenly the workload, like it expands dramatically beyond the full-time job you already have. Like it's a whole team. Yep. And then you think about also at Microsoft, our whole team's dedicated just to that. Like there's security team, there's compliance team, there are whole teams doing just this one topic, and you think that you can do it better by yourself?
Yeah.
I want to hear more.
I've told this joke like 50 episodes ago. I still remember back in Ignite, I can't remember which Ignite, when we were meeting actually people.
Yeah.
And we were in a booth, and I think in Orlando or maybe in Atlanta. I can't remember which one, maybe in Chicago even. And then we're in the booth and talking about blah, 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 the cloud is going to cloud, let's go to the cloud and blah, and everything. And there was a person game with a saying, yeah, so what's with the cloud and why we should be moving? And there was I think it was me or the one of the managers, which we were standing there with me, a dev engineering manager, who said that, well, if you think about, for example, security, how can you secure your on-premises, the physical computers, and making sure that people cannot actually access them? So if you think about the amount of investment Microsoft does for securing the data centers and the security, all of that, comparing what you would have to be able to do to make the similar level of an investment, it's almost in a different level. And you probably can't even achieve that level of the security. And then the person is like, well, I think we can. And both of us was like, hey, what? And where are you working? And then it's like, hey, I work in the Lockheed Martin. So Lockheed Martin being the world's largest arms and war machine manufacturer. Yep. So
yeah.
Said, okay, in your case, maybe you can deal with the security, but in a normal world.
Yeah.
Majority is not Lockheed, you know, or Boeing.
Yes.
So, yes.
But yeah, it is absolutely like what you said. It's all of that additional things taken away. Plus, we can invest the same money to other areas. And sure, there's still the monthly fee, but it's known fee. It's known cost rather than, I think that's the biggest business change within the past 10 years is that the costs are known because it's a monthly fee.
Yeah. Yep.
Except Azure side of the house.
Your Azure consumption and you have dynamic thing. But even that, like altogether, imagine that you have the need like in retail around Christmas, spike.
Yep.
Like the rest of the year, you would be paying for all that infra sitting around doing nothing.
Yep.
So better have this peak be able to handle that, expand during this 2 months, three months time, and then scale it down again, as opposed to like, yeah, you have to plan for the peak, and then the rest of the year you're renting out the space or the power to, I don't know, host Minecraft servers.
Now, to be fair, aren't rumors saying that that was one of the original reasons why AWS actually was established? Because they needed to have the additional capacity to deal with the spikes. And then they realized that for the most of the year, we have this extra capacity. And nowadays, it's a big business. It's much more than that, obviously. Take away anything from Amazon on that. But it's basically original kind of like, hey, so we have this extra capacity to deal with spikes.
Yep.
Why wouldn't we start selling a capacity for other people? Which makes perfect sense. Absolutely.
About the cloud, it's I will say from a content perspective, when I was writing courseware and things like that, that's where I got frustrated with the cloud, because it's so hard. You got to do more workshop style stuff and not have courseware or have some type of thing. I mean, I did a class for Ted Patterson, and I used to teach for him a lot, but now he's on the Power BI Cat team. Yeah. And love Ted. He's brilliant, and especially when it comes to, you know, advanced Power BI stuff. But we'd had courseware, and it's like things would change. I remember I went to teach a class for Delta, and I was up in Atlanta, and the app launcher showed up the day I went to teach, or that morning. Yeah. And I was teaching them stuff, but we had at the time a hosted environment for them. At the time, it matched what Office 365 was, at least from a SharePoint standpoint. But then, I show up, and they're like, their training environments did not match the app launcher, right, that launched. And this was before I was an MVP, or maybe I was one. Maybe I was one. No, I don't know. But the other thing about before I became an MVP, or even just before I started working with the product groups more, it's easy to think that something is very easy to implement, but some of it is not. Even just on the Power BI side of a certain feature, it's like the amount of things that have to be redone to make that work. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. So it's easy to, complain and, oh, why can't we have this feature now? Why haven't you released it? Not understanding this. There's this whole lot of stuff going on behind the scenes with all the products.
Yeah. It's much more complicated, and it's really difficult to even explain, even though we would want to be more open and transparent on how the societies are actually being made, so to say. Yeah. To be fair, I don't know if we want to be super open and transparent, but it is, Microsoft does not intentionally want to be difficult related on evolving things. It's just a matter of prioritization and then having the right resources. And then there's a lot of things where the behind of the scenes impact, like you said, Christina, is much bigger than people would never thought. It's like, well, it's a thingy in the UX. Yes, but now let's start thinking what it does in the background. So,
I guess it's a kind of normal thing for like every ISV. Like I worked at an ISV, and it's exactly the same thing. Like no matter your scale, like the last thing you want to do is say, we're going to ship this by the end of the month. And then everybody will kind of include that in their plans. And then some dependency that you assume would be there, it cannot be there because someone's ill, something happened, something's changed. There is problem you have to fix first, right? And the whole thing slips. And at that scale, like the bigger the scale, the bigger the odds that something will change somewhere. And you don't want people to depend on that, because especially at this scale, like it's big budgets, it's big plans. And also the effect of any change is huge. So you don't want to deal with all these legal and things. Yeah, but you said that it would be available and now it isn't, right? So like from that point of view, it makes perfect sense. Like as an ISV, yes, you want to help people plan. But then on the other hand, like you don't want to tie your hands down, and you want to be able to, at the end of the day, build the most important things and ship the most important things first. Even if that means that the thing that is almost done, maybe that thing needs to wait because there is like urgency has changed. Sure. Right. So I think it's just a typical thing for every ISV.
And especially now that we are kind of focusing on through the Microsoft Teams, getting access on every single capabilities and everything. Think about the complexity of, let's say, something like Microsoft Lists, which is inside of Microsoft Teams, but then can use Power Apps and Power Automate behind the scenes on those lists. So you basically have this massive web of dependencies to be able to get something else.
And SharePoint, and there is also the list thing, and there is new UI, and if something changes there, that trickles down all the way. It has to be tested in UI, on the web, in
Power Apps. Regressions and everything else. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So it is an interesting
thing. UI, right?
Yeah.
Now, should we do a quick round of articles and then come back on the
let's discussion?
Let's do that. So let me share my screen. We kind of messed up our flow by...
Yeah, it's my bad. I'm sorry, guys.
It's all good. No. This show is all about what can happen. So you never know. So.
The reality show. It's a reality show.
What does this button do?
Oh. Hey, there's a new feature. What is it?
Cool. Let's start with there was a monthly summaries from Microsoft Teams and also from a SharePoint side. These are really good because they basically list always the summary of what has happened and what's coming and all of that. So game from Wednesday for the Microsoft Teams. So just a performance update coming up on there. We talked about, in context of Ignite, we talked about already the larger view, which is really good. I think this is definitely useful, especially for EDU scenarios, but in general as well. There has been a lot of jokes related on Zoom calls, which are looking like this one, and people telling story that their kids are taking cardboards and putting themselves on the screen because, hey, there's 49 people in the box. They don't know if I'm moving or not, so it doesn't matter. So anyway. Together mode obviously is there, but I think we are releasing a new set of together mode options, which is really good. So additional scenes, because this is getting already boring. And it just but still, it's good to have new scenes available. Devices and new, an area which we haven't really concentrated in here, but there's a lot of cool stuff in here as well for the office hubs. And it's going to be interesting to see how much and how widely all of this stuff is being used in the offices in the future. How many people will go back in the offices? We'll see. Chat and collaboration, Microsoft Lists in Teams, and we just mentioned, talked about actually on that one as well. Whiteboard updates, Teams for education, so investments in there, walkie-talkie mode in over there, between Teams and RealView. No idea what that is, actually.
Is the helmet?
Yeah, this one. Yeah.
Huh.
So
that's actually really interesting.
Cool. If you pilot your drone, Christina, you will be able to do it with Teams, and you will be able to. Wow, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Like you
will
get this.
We need to talk about the drone, by the way, after we come back on the articles. So.
Yes.
customizing praise patches, so that's cool. That's coming as well, so you can actually get those moving. And then a lot of governments and API level improvement as well. So really cool stuff. Stuff is moving all the time. So obviously, Ignite announcements are always the big ones. But one of the things what always bothers me with the big announcements is that there's so many announcements that half of them get lost.
Yes.
So having then the repeats, and all the throughout the year is super, super important. Now, on the SharePoint side of the house, there is a podcast together with Ankita from the OneDrive side and OneDrive Marketing. Yep. So she's relatively new on that organization. So good discussion on there. And then a lot of new stuff on the experiences. So integrations, Power BI coming to Microsoft Search and SharePoint and Office.com. Super cool feature
that's,
as well.
Huge.
SharePoint Sites gets the new Create Site experience, Create Lists experiences directly like we have in the Microsoft List. Super important thing. Microsoft List Calendar View.
Woo-hoo!
One of the most requested features for a long time already. So good that that's coming as well.
Good.
Microsoft List Gallery View, so you can flip the galleries or the presentation to that kind of a view. So that's pretty cool as well. Better improvements also in the Crit View. A lot of stuff. Message Center Sync to Microsoft Planner. Yammer Reactions, so everything is bundled in here. That's actually about time, to be honest. So been a long time, but we've been waiting for this one, for those who are actually using Yammer. So, and then calling out the highlights from Ignite for anything. So a lot of stuff happening there as well. Now, moving on things, SharePoint Syntex, announced in Ignite already today in GA, which is actually pretty cool, or yesterday actually, based on Chris's availability. So we've been, well, SharePoint Syntex is one part of the Project Cortex. So it's not the whole Project Cortex, it's one of the subsets of the Project Cortex, and but it gives you the detection of the content and automations behind the scenes. And there was a lot of great videos and tooling and documentation related on that one in Ignite, where it was announced, and now GA is happening already, which is pretty cool. In here, boot camps. Let's talk about this. So from October 1st until November 13th, like we've done for the past years as well, and there are globally hosted MVP-driven boot camps or Microsoft-driven boot camps all around the world. And these are really cool. Some of them are virtual, some of them are physical. And that's my understanding right now on the situation. Africa virtual, Pacific virtual, or is it all virtual?
All virtual, like all virtual. On the top there is virtual, like all bootcamps are virtual and free.
Yes, it is. Ah, there we go. Okay, anyway, but the whole point being on the fact that you are basically on your time zone and with the people around your region. So
hanging with friends, language too,
and
right?
language as well. So hanging with friends, hanging with people you know within your language, and then learning capabilities and the platform options in here. And one of the things what related on this one is also what the cloud advocates are doing. So there's a global set of globally transmitted. That's the wrong way of saying broadcasted, globally broadcasted. two workshops led by Aika, Bob, and Rabia, and basically in a similar kind of setup as those locally or regional setups. So really cool stuff as well. Well, that you joined the company too late, so you're not in here.
Correct.
Right? Yes. Because all of these people are cloud advocates from your team. So
that's right.
These are my colleagues. Yes.
That's right.
Now, other things, there was a Office add-ins BMP article, open Excel for your web page and embed your Office add-in. So basically guidance on there, putting stuff on the Excel. So we're partnering together with Office add-in team and Office add-in community teams to make sure that we're kind of supporting the BMP thinking on their side as well. And this is one of the new articles on their side, which is pretty cool. Now, Jarpas Horst had a quick tip: avoid limitations when reading SharePoint list items using Microsoft Graph. So basically, just there are certain differences on these things, and he's explaining the differences and what are the workarounds and how to make those things happen. So really good guidance blog post. And good example of that blog post, again, doesn't have to be super long, but a reminder or something. And this one's from Joel Rodriguez, easily enable SharePoint spaces. Good blog post on, okay, so yes, you can go to the spaces, or you need to actually manually go and enable the spaces, but you can absolutely do that using PowerShell or using CLI as well. So you can easily automate the activation of the particular feature. It's still, to be fair, I'm still kind of always getting shivers when I see the site features list, because you can break your sites if you activate wrong things in here. So it's like historical.
Use with caution.
Exactly. I just activated these things. Why doesn't it work? Well,
yes.
Where do I start?
Yeah. Stefan had a design review based layout and typography of communication sites. So basically a relatively long blog post explaining the structures and typography and the layouting and how it's intended to be used. So really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Stefan is a really specialist around the layouts and experiences. So really, really great blog post in general on these topics. Our Italian friend had a thank you video. No. Yeah, I think that this is all about using MSAL.net, accessing Microsoft Graph part 2. So good video again from Paolo. And these are really good because, again, they're 6 minutes or 5 minutes on the topic, really concentrating on a thing and then focusing on showing the thing, and that's it. So really, really useful videos from Paolo. And he's almost smiling again, so long running joke.
Yes, he is.
Mikael Svensson had a search and multilingual pages in SharePoint Online, so explaining how that actually works. Mikael works in the Microsoft Search organization, used to be an MVP as well. A lot of MVPs are moving into the Microsoft, which is good. So that's really cool. But explaining how things work and how they actually behave in this scenario. So really, really cool stuff. And it's great to see that a lot of the people who are moving in Microsoft are still being active in the community. So they don't actually just drop the ball.
Yep.
So don't be...
Passion. It's all about passion. It's passion.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. It's all about passion.
And this one's pretty cool as well on the PMP SPFX Yeoman Generator side. So Shandana is joining as a maintainer on that project.
Cool.
And especially focusing on the Angular side of the generator. So if you're looking into building SPFX solutions using Angular, that is available in the PMP SPFX Yeoman Generator. And she's the one who actually been maintaining and helping on that. So she's now working together with Stefan on that project. So really cool as well.
Cool.
Now, this one from Tomomi as well, picking a guide to Microsoft Teams development and basically good starting point. This is precisely what we should be having more and more because we tend to jump on a more too technical things, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So people can't actually catch up those who jumped in already a year ago and doing things. So. Huge. And then two more. Prepare Microsoft Teams meeting recordings, assisting at the OneDrive and SharePoint. Super, 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 super interesting move. It's actually an understandable move when you think from a larger perspective. I think, Baldek, you explained this in a really well. Why would Microsoft actually move the recorded videos from whatever they're using right now, which is irrelevant, to OneDrive and SharePoint?
Well, if you think about it from a scale of a big company, what are the different things that you actually need for any kind of content you create and store? Security, compliance, data sovereignty, and all of that. So if you build a product, whether that's at Microsoft or being an ISV, you have to ensure that whatever you store the data, that you offer these abilities, right? And in the past, Stream was stored, I think, somewhere in Azure, or it has their own way to store files.
Yeah.
But so imagine now that as feature crew, like you have to spend all this additional work to ensure that you expose all these abilities in consistent way across M365. With this move, you get all of that for free because SharePoint already does all of that. It supports labeling, records management, e-discovery, everything. And no matter what you build on top of that, as long as you store the content in there in SharePoint and OneDrive, you get all of that for free. So that frees you from so much additional work. Plus, users kind of expect that because they are on Microsoft 365, they expect to have consistent experience across the board, no matter what they use. And this is exactly what they will get with this move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there's no records management or compliance or records management within Stream.
Yep, exactly.
Which has become a big issue with some of my customers.
There you go. So now with that, hopefully that will be addressed.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. So much bigger announcement than it necessarily even sounds. So there's a massive amount of positives based on this direction as well. And then the last thing from Sarah are hubs, the new SharePoint site collection, a good article related on different perspectives and how we should be approaching things, and also a video discussion with the people on that particular topic. So that's actually a really, really, really interesting discussion point. If you're building intranets and experiences and based on hubs versus the classic way of creating a classic purposing site collection with thousands and thousands of subsites, which it worked for a while, but it's pretty outdated for now. But that's the article. So let's get back in.
I just send you a link.
Let me do that.
More.
Excellent. No, okay. One more thing.
Exactly.
So I sent you a link.
Talks apps.
Yep.
Talk Talks.
Yes.
So this is what I've been brought into. Sarah Goodwin brought me into working with her team. And right now there's one, I'm helping the creation of some of the content and I'll be delivering as well. So this is something that's new. Talk Talks, they're webinars, of course, they're not, so they're one-way interaction, but I'm working on the one for 3P, third-party apps, but this is something for people to keep an eye out for, great way to, this session here is about 60 minutes, but I think it goes about 45 minutes or so, but this is another one for people to keep an eye out for, because we'll be launching more sessions.
Cool.
This is really cool.
Absolutely. Cool. Absolutely. And Christina, you were the one or one person who realized the power of the Microsoft Teams app templates pretty early on. Because I remember you were having sessions and submitting sessions related on that. And for whatever reason, people didn't quite understand what's that all about. Because maybe because of the name of the app template, because it's slightly misleading. But it's just brilliant set of samples and showing what you can do in the Microsoft Teams. So. Cool. Let me actually close up the presentation, and then do we want to talk about drones?
Yes, now we move to the meat of the conversation, drones. Show your drones.
So a friend of mine is a drone pilot, and the friend of mine, the friend that is a drone pilot, is the one who got me into paddleboarding, and we launched a paddleboarding touring company. We run out and teach and so on. But of course, the season's changing. So I need something else to do. Well, we had the hurricane had flooded us out here. Thankfully, my home was okay, but there was some other areas where homes got flooded on the first floor. Well, I went out with him. He was doing drone footage for one of the local news channels. Well, at the time, you know, I wasn't a drone pilot. But I brought my GoPro and my professional camera and stuff. So I was taking pictures and he was doing footage. Well, I was always fascinated by what he does. I was always fascinated by what he does. And then when I went out with him, that kind of sealed the deal. And so now he's been training me. So then I've, you know, this was the first one I learned on, which is the Mavic Air 2. Yep. And it's funny because he taught me how to fly. We went out and I flew the first time. And then that next day he's like, oh, you want to go do this? There was a prayer circle going on and they had requested him. And I said, wait, I just learned how to fly. Are you crazy? He said, no, this is fine. It turned out being for, somebody we knew, but I'm practicing getting better and better, and I'm practicing my photography. Cause as you may or may not know, I love photography and I love video, but I'm just, my strengths are photography. So I need to get better on video stuff. I'm good. I mean, as far as filming video, I'm used to stills. So I'm learning, and I actually paddleboarding. The other thing is when we go paddleboarding, he'll get amazing footage of us paddleboarding. And with tours and stuff too, we can get great footage. So he's excited now because now he's got his backup pilot. So I did go out, haven't been in the water, and the weather happened to be very nice the other day. And I took that opportunity to go, and I said, I got to get in the water. The lake was finally not looking like chocolate milk anymore. I do love chocolate milk, just not in the water.
Yeah. And, I don't want to swim in chocolate milk. I love it, but not that much.
Yeah. So the lake looked muddy and chocolatey, like Willy Wonka. And so I got comfortable. I got comfortable with flying my drone off the paddleboard.
Cool.
Now, I did make a mistake. You'll see some video because my friend is all about marketing. I'm learning my weaknesses. I've learned what to do. Just hold down the throttle and just keep it down, and then it shuts off. But I hand caught it. This is a smaller drone here. Now it's got bumpers because it's this is the smallest drone. It's only 249 grams. And this one is, I don't remember how heavy, but it's a lot heavier. This one has to be registered with the FAA. This one does not. Well, if I have the bumpers on, I go overweight. But if I take the bumpers off, the bumpers are for indoor flying because you will bump it, right? So I can take the bumpers off, and then if I take it off, it'll look just like this.
Okay.
And it's 249 grams, so it's considered a toy. So this can... So if I were to get back on a plane, this would be a good one for me to take, but not use the bumpers, so I stay within regulation, and I could fly this. Now, I use to tell me the restricted airspace. I've been studying up, not that I'm getting on a plane anytime soon, but I've been studying up because now when I travel, I can think, well, before I started thinking, I'm like, oh, that trip would have been great if I had a drone. Oh, that one too.
Yeah.
My thinking has changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And, but I'm working on, I'm studying to get, there's a certification part 107. And I'm studying to get certification. I'm learning how that I've been doing practice tests. I've been, you know, trying to test my knowledge, and I'm great with the questions until I have to read a map. And then I'm looking at the map. I guess they tell you now when you go take the test, they tell you to bring a magnifying glass because you have to find all these specific symbols and things.
You have these devices.
Yeah. Like, what? Like, you can look up answers.
Big math. Where am I? There we go.
So I'm but if I become 107 certified, so I'm helping my friend out on jobs. And but I'm legally allowed to, as long as I'm under the supervision of him and he's certified. But I'm not supposed to go do my own jobs until I have that certification. So, but yeah, that's my next thing.
So is it like that? You have to get the license based on drone's weight? Is that the
the size of the drone? No.
Oh well, a couple things. One, I have to register this with the FAA, and I'm going to have a number that I'm going to have to put on here. Okay. So each drone that is over 200, if it's 250 grams and above, it has to be registered, required by law globally. Okay. Now, if it's below 250 pounds, it does not have to be registered. Now, there's still flying rules I have. Just because this doesn't have to be registered doesn't mean I can go flying in a Class D airspace. Yeah. Right? I have to respect the airspace.
And you cannot fly above
400.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't speak meters.
Well, I'm divided by 30-ish, so 130 meters or something.
130 meters. But I can set on the drone settings my max altitude, my max range, and I do live close to a Class D airspace because I live close to a military base. But anytime I fly, I look up on the map, I see where I'm at, I see what the restrictions are, things like that. Now, I can do this recreationally. That's where the certification is that makes the difference. If I want to make money, which I do, I want to help my friend on jobs. He does a lot of marketing stuff. I want to be able to start being hired to do drone footage. And right. To do that, I need to have the certification. Yeah. I have to have it if I want to do it myself.
Yeah, cool.
I can imagine that's a good, let's say, change for the normal day job of playing with the computers, right?
Yes. So well, it's still computers. It's just smaller computers.
Yeah, that's true.
But by my passing of technology IoT. Still here, but I'm not sitting there working on SharePoint all day long, I guess. You know?
Exactly.
You just wait, because the next version, SharePoint 2021, will run on this drone.
Sure.
And it will have a list, and you will be able to put stuff on it, and it will sync.
I might be able to do something with the power up in my drone.
Yeah. Why not? There's, as long as there's an HTTP endpoint, it'll be fine. So,
IoT. IoT, baby.
Yes.
IoT. Passion. Technology and passion.
Yeah. So, absolutely. Yes. Now, I think it's time to close up. We're hitting the 1 hour marker pretty much as well. But thank you, Christina, for joining us and good chat related on your historical things and learnings and what are you doing right now? Because I think it's always helpful for everybody else to understand what people do across the world and also then understanding background historical things as well. So, any last words? What's happening this week?
What anything is this cool? Week? I have no concept of days
it's
or time.
Friday. It's Friday. Nothing happens this week.
I almost have a downstairs bathroom again. So during this whole shutdown, I've learned things that the builders contractors did wrong for my house. Ooh. So that's been fun. So I haven't had a downstairs bathroom for a while. So yeah, but that's on. But what is happening this week? I don't know. Drone flying.
You're going to paddle board. You're going to fly drones, study for your FAA exams, license exams now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
And Baldic is learning all the abbreviations in Microsoft. So because you're like,
wait. I need a little. By the way, now that I've got my V-Bash too, I need to learn the abbreviations. And Liz said we were going back and forth, and she put an acronym in there, and I'm like, what's that acronym again? She goes, Christina, you're killing me.
There is a whole site, seriously. There is a site on which
there
you
is
can
a
search
site.
Every acronym.
Okay.
So yeah, good. So it's just as easy as that. Well, the only thing is that some of them mean actually like 20 things.
Yes.
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 So
that's okay.
Anyway, I think that's That's a cute closer for this discussion. So thank you, Christina, for joining. And thank you, everybody who's watching or listening on the discussion. I think watching this is much more nicer because there was a lot of smiles and laughing on this one. Yes. So definitely. But obviously, people do use the podcast option as well. But thank you, Waldeck. Thank you, Christina.
We'll come back within a week or so.
And it will be, by the way, the next one will be the big one, episode 100.
See, I was just the precursor, even though I hit the power button. I'm just kidding.
But you know, like, so it will be the big episode that doesn't really take anything away from the prior or the
correct
coming afterwards.
Correct. Or the coming afterwards.
Like the big, not big episode.
Yes, that is true. We need to still figure out what we do, I think.
We have a plan. No, we have a plan.
Cool.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Christina. Thank you. Talk in touch.
Bye-bye.